full of too many football podcasts, comes another football podcast. One man's quest to find the answers.
Okay, boys, let's go to work.
Now, live from Pine Grove Studio B, it's Let Me Be Frank with T. Frank.
So it doesn't matter who you are, if you're watching the show, you like football. Except for, you know, my friends that are watching this because they like me, which, thanks guys, I really appreciate it. But for you, you became a fan of football because of some team or some moment, right? Some play even. So I know this is a Penn State podcast, but I am going to talk about the Buffalo Bills a little bit today. Be a little bit selfish because we have Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast coming on talking about Penn State football. Most of it we're talking about Penn State football, but I'm going to take a little bit of time for me because everyone should do a little bit of self-care. Talking about one of my favorite teams, the 2004 Buffalo Bills. Can't wait to ask about that. And then at the end, I'm going to talk to you about goats. I'll tell you, we'll get to that in a little bit. First off, though, let's get to Ross.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
On the phone with me now, you know him from all kinds of places. Honestly, he has too many jobs to name, and we only have a limited number of moments here with him, so we'll just get right to it. Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast. Ross, thanks for coming on the show today.
Chief Frank, my pleasure, man. Thank you for having me. And yeah, I think if people just check me out on social media, at Ross Tucker NFL, you can figure out and find out all the stuff I'm doing.
So we're going to get into the Penn State football stuff here in just a minute, but I'm going to be entirely selfish for a couple minutes, okay? Because people who know me know, and if they follow the show, they know I'm a lifelong Bills fan. And 20 years of the drought, the famous drought that the Buffalo Bills went through, it's not like when you were going through it, you knew it was happening. So there are moments of hope throughout that, and the 2004 Buffalo Bills were the last team that gave a young T. Frank hope, and the starting right guard on that team was one Ross Tucker. So, Ross, that team was fun to watch, and I just have to say, that was the last team that I watched that I legitimately thought was good for a decade. So thank you, I guess, for that little bit of hope early on in my life that really sparked a love of football for me.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. That was my best season as an NFL player. I started 13 games. It was actually 4 at center and 9 at left guard that year. We went 9-4 in those 13 games. And kind of a bittersweet season in the sense that, you know, I had a playing time bonus in the first year of a 3-year contract extension. And I hit it, and that's the most playing time I ever got in my career. It's the most money I ever got in my career. It's the most fun I had. You know, we won 6 games in a row at one point. And it's certainly the best team I ever played on that didn't make the playoffs. And in fact, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but they've done studies like Football Outsiders and some of these analytics sites that we are like legitimately the best team in the last 20, 30 years or something that didn't make the playoffs.
Yeah, like, that team had a top 10 defense, and Eric Moulds, Lee Evans, Drew Bledsoe. That was a really fun team to watch. It was a ton of fun.
Yeah, it's a shame. We got off to an 0-4 start, and that's what ended up biting us. And then we lost the last game to the Steelers. But it was a really fun ride, really fun season. Just disappointing that we couldn't finish it off with a playoff berth. You know, we got so close. And, you know, I guess that was only year 4 of the playoff drought, or maybe year 5. So it wasn't that cool at that point.
Yeah.
But then with every year after that, obviously became a bigger and bigger deal.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't know it was coming at the beginning. And one of the things I got to say, and this will be the last thing, because I want to get to I want to get to Sean Clifford and a bunch of other things, but one of the things that made me think, what is going on here, is they released Ross Tucker, and I was like, he played well. Why would you release that guy? And organizations that don't value players end up in those situations. So, in a way, a herald of the decade that came.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you what happened is I played the end of the 04 season with a herniated disc in my back. We decided to try to avoid the surgery. I eventually had to get the surgery in April. So they signed Benny Anderson and drafted two guys. And then the first day of training camp, I partially tore my hamstring and missed 2 weeks. I was back for a week. And then I sprained my neck, and they had just decided at that point to move on. I think that they thought I was sort of damaged goods with the injuries I was suffering, and so that's why they ended up releasing me, unfortunately. That was a shame to have that good of a 2004 season and then get cut the next year.
Yeah. Yeah, so let's talk about Penn State football, what people want to know about. Sean Clifford, last season, are there enough mitigating circumstances of 2020 and everything that the team went through in general that you think the play is explainable, or is it just what it was, and you think we've seen the evidence on tape with Clifford?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I think there are certainly probably some reasons and factors why Sean did not play as well as he did the year before. New offensive coordinator, new O-line coach, all those things. The injuries at running back. But, I don't think it explains him playing as poorly as he did. I think it's obviously some of the reasons why he didn't play as well, but I don't think you could put it all on the outside factors. I think, and even Sean would tell you that, he takes ownership of that as well.
Because it applies again this year, how hard is it to learn a new offense? How much translates from offense to offense? And I know that's probably a pretty broad question, but what is the reasonable expectation, I guess, for the mastery or command of an offense heading into 2021, seeing as he did have the offseason, a normal offseason this year?
So it's pretty hard, and I would say very difficult to truly master it in just 1 year, which is why, continuity is a valuable thing. Continuity is a valuable thing. Experience, it took Tom Brady a while to really get going in Tampa with Bruce Arians' offense, right? So that there's no question in my mind that there's something to that. And part of the reason why some of these guys, Brees and Brady and guys like that over the years are so successful is because they've been in the same system so long. So I think it's impossible to master it in 1 year, but that doesn't mean you can't play at a really high level.
Ross Tucker of the Ross Tucker Football Podcast, you can check him out on Twitter. What are your expectations, I guess, of Clifford heading into 2021? Do you have kind of what you think he can do? Like, I guess, what's your assessment of where he should be in your mind heading into 21?
Yeah, I think he'll play about as well as he did a couple years ago. He's got a good receiving core now. I think the offensive line should be pretty good. It's just hard for me to think that he would perform as poorly as he did a year ago. But I also don't know that I can sit here and, after watching what happened last year, think that he's going to perform at a really high level, or a lot higher than he did in 2019.
Yeah, I kind of felt like the situation exacerbated a lot of his weaknesses. So, not knowing the offense kind of exacerbated his process after the snap. not having command of everything made him uneven, so he didn't feel even in the pocket. So hopefully, I think if you're a Penn State fan, those are some of the things that can even out. Speaking of that new offense and Mike Yurcich, running outside zone in 2021, is that a big deal or not a big deal to you?
It is a big deal because that scheme takes a lot of practice to really be able to get it right. And, you know, I don't know that the offensive line, they won't have enough reps to master it, just like Clifford won't have enough reps to master what he's asked to do either. Again, that does not mean that they can't play at a high level. I think they will, but I don't think they'll master it. I don't think that they'll – I think they'll be able to play well, but maybe not extremely well.
On that note, other things that Mike Yurcich is bringing over in his new offense, another feature of the offense is motion. And, you know, doing some study on it this offseason, it leads to some advantageous situations. What is the risk-reward when running motion with college athletes and putting – you know, you may be putting your player in a situation to succeed, but if you haven't mastered all of this stuff, this seems like, are we going to see a lot of these concepts in their fullest potential in year one from Mike Yurcich?
I don't know. It's a good question. Probably not in their fullest potential. I mean, he'll be able to build on it in year two on what he does this year. So I guess the answer to your question is probably not to its fullest potential. But I don't know that they need it to its fullest potential. They just need it to be better than it was last year. And they need to be successful. And, you know, motion certainly helps. There's no question. Motion helps you identify pre-snap whether or not you think it is going to be man coverage or zone coverage. It helps you to determine whether or not you think they're going to be coming with pressure. You know, there's no question that, no question in my mind that it's helpful.
Switch to the defense quickly because we spent a good time, amount of time on the offense. Is there a position on the depth chart defensively that you have your eye on that you're looking for either somebody step up, take a big step forward, or a potential weakness in 2021?
I'd like to think that the secondary should really be pretty good. But they certainly have the ability to do so, but they got to go out and show it now. They got to go out and show it because I feel like we've said that other years as well, T. Frank, about the secondary.
Yeah.
And they haven't really gotten it done. I mean, I've talked about this on the Keystone Sports Network, but I think Brisker and Castrell Fields and Porter, you know, they get a bunch of guys that are probably next level players, but now they gotta go out and play like it, right? They gotta go out and function. And sometimes I wonder how much of it has been a product of the players, how much of it's been a product of the coaching. There have been too many guys running free, too many times where it looks like they're not on the same page.
Is that a communication thing, or is that a hesitancy to play with aggressiveness when it comes to jumping balls and making turnovers and all of those things, or is it a communication breakdown of trying to do too much on the back end?
I think it's a communication thing. They've had too many guys running free, too many guys open, poor tackling. It's been disappointing. I don't think there's any way around it. So they really need that group to play at a high level this year because I think there's a lot of question marks along the defensive line. I mean, we'll see what the two grad transfers are able to bring, but they need those guys to play at a high level, and they need pretty much everybody, you know, Adisa Isaac, Mustafer,
I mean, they need these guys to take the next step. They need these guys because, you know, they lost a lot in Shaka Toney and Shelton and Jason Oway. I mean, that, you know, I think defensive line is the second most important position in the sport after quarterback. And at this point, you know, it doesn't look like it's a strength of Penn State's team, you know, which is a concern. So they're going to count on the young guys, and they're going to count on the grad transfers, and we'll see. You know, it's weird, T. Frank, because they've had a tendency in recent years to sort of surprise me, right? Like the years where they have a first-year starting quarterback and you don't think they're going to be great, they doing a good job, right? Like Trace McSorley's first year, Sean Clifford's first year. And even like some of the years where you think, okay, they lose Ryan Bates and Connor McGovern. Well, the next year, the offensive line, that was the best year they've had as an offensive line.
Yeah.
You know, the year after Bates and McGovern, they lose two NFL players. And I thought that was the best offensive line they had, I guess, 2019. So they have a way, for whatever reason, of surprising us a little bit. And I'm hoping that's the case again this year with the defensive line.
Ross Tucker joining us today on Let Me Be Frank. One last question for you. I want to get you out of here because I know you're a busy man and you're taking time out of your day to come talk to me. So thank you so much. Penn State fans have been vocally upset about the idea that they haven't gotten the high-end production out of their best players recently in Odafe Owe and Micah Parsons. So do you believe that the position switch and Brandon Smith moving to Will linebacker, do you think that Penn State fans are going to see that step forward from him specifically, and is he going to produce on the football field for them?
Yeah, now, you know, I think it's asking a lot to project him to, you know, be a first-round pick like those two guys were, but I'd be surprised if he doesn't have a really good year. And I do think him moving the Will linebacker spot will give him a better opportunity to be productive. I think him moving to Will give him a better chance to be productive. And I think he'll take the next step. I guess the question would be how big is that next step, right? I mean, does he go from being a good player to being a first team all Big Ten? Is he all American? Is he a top 20 pick? Obviously, I think that remains to be seen.
Ross, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Have a safe trip wherever you're going.
Well, I appreciate that. Although I got to ask you a question,
sure.
T. Frank.
Sure.
So, what is T. Frank? Like, give me the origin of that.
So it's a long story, but I'll give you the short version. I'm the last of five kids in my family, so my first name is Thomas Frank, and that's a mouthful for everyone in existence. So the first day of college, my college professor in radio class gave me the nickname T. Frank, and it's just stuck with me ever since. So I go by T. Frank to alleviate the burden on other people of saying a polysyllabic first name.
So, what high school did you go to?
I went to a small high school in northwest Pennsylvania, Eisenhower.
Okay, like what area? What other school? What, where is it? Like Erie?
So I call it the Bermuda Triangle of nothing. So it's halfway between Buffalo, Pittsburgh, and Cleveland, and there's nothing in between that you probably have ever heard of. Those are the landmarks: Jamestown, New York. There's not a lot.
Interesting.
There.
Okay. I kind of know where you're at. Okay. That's why you're a Bills fan. That makes sense.
It's a border state. I lived in a border town. So it was either you were a Steelers fan or a Bills fan. And for the first half of my life, I was on the losing end of that battle, and it wasn't particularly close.
Yeah, no, I know. So wait a minute. Did people in high school call you Thomas Frank?
Oh, no, in high school they called me Thomas because my dad was Tom, so I was not going to be Tom or Tommy. I was Thomas. I'm very fancy, so.
What's your last name?
Carr.
Oh, Carr, yeah, yeah, I knew that. Sorry. So, dude, I think T. Frank's amazing, by the way.
Well, thank you.
You're the only T. Frank I know, and the whole point of a name is to distinguish. So I love the name T. Frank. I love that you're a Bills fan. It means a lot to me that you brought up 2004. I actually just watched the highlights of that Steelers game with a buddy recently. So I really appreciate that. That's awesome. And I guess I guess that's it. I like it. We got a combo. You like Penn State. You like the Bills. We should talk more often.
I'll have you on anytime you want to come on, Ross.
This is Let Me Be Frank.
Okay. Let's have a conversation about words, because things are getting out of hand. Words need to have meaning, okay? And if we just use them however we want, that system gets broken. And it's time to be frank about the way you speak, especially online, because we're talking today about goats and stands. It's insane. It's getting out of control. It's getting out of control. Here is a quick list of things that I found just this week that people use the term goat on Twitter. I just searched goat on Twitter, and this is what came back. Jacob deGrom, Logan Paul. Come on. Kesha, your friend that did something cool and you videotaped it, because I have no reference for what it was, and a motivational post by some wannabe Tony Robbins. Can all of those be goats? All of those is what you're saying. Words have to have meaning, right? So the term goat, greatest of all time. And I just want to point out the final part of that is time. Time. Literal passage of time. And believe me, I've been, especially younger people, I've been young before, and I had no reference for time. And what I saw was I didn't believe that anything happened before 1990. Anything before that was just random blank history. The world started when I was born. I've had that reference point. Here's the thing. It didn't. So we need to have some reference on time when we're talking about, in sports especially, we'll get to sports here, an increment of measurement longer than your attention span is what we need for time. So here are the two that actually make sense if we're going to use GOAT that I found this week. Julio Jones, Mike Krzyzewski. And I'm not saying that my opinion should matter about those two things. You can think whoever's the greatest college basketball coach of all time, as long as we have the time element and the greatness element, both are necessary. Julio Jones has put together a decade-long resume of being one of the most dominant receivers in football. You can make the argument, if you want, that he is a GOAT or the GOAT. By the way, if we go a GOAT, you're undercutting the whole thing because it's greatest. Greatest of all time. But if you want to say that about Julio Jones, we can have a conversation. It's at least in the ballpark. But here's one that isn't. Patrick Mahomes. Oh, how dare you. Here's the deal. Patrick Mahomes is otherworldly good. He will at some point easily be in the conversation of greatest quarterbacks of all time. I don't have a doubt about that. But it's not now. It's not right now. He's been doing it for like 5 years. You're assuming, based on what we've seen, which is some of the greatest quarterback play we've seen individually, sure, yes. But what about the next 10 years? Because time is a part of the conversation when we're talking about GOATs. I don't like using the phrase anyway, but if we're going to use it, we should probably use it in respect. It's a term of respect, but it's turned into a term of guys I really like. Not greatest of all time, things I like. That's not the same thing. Okay, so next thing is, this isn't really a word, but it does have a meaning that I think people are misinterpreting and are using, like, wildly inappropriately. It's the term stan. You can look it up in the Urban Dictionary. You can listen to the Eminem song. It means an overzealous fan, right? But I've seen many, many people, too many for my comfort, use it as a term of pride. I stan my team. I stan Ben Roethlisberger. Hold up. Either you don't care, and then I have a problem, or you've never heard the song Stan. Go listen to the Eminem song Stan. Please, before you use that, understand that Eminem didn't like Stan. Eminem, in the song, was writing about a lunatic who was entirely too emotional, had a psychotic break, drove off a bridge with his wife in the car. So that's what you want to be proudly compared to? Words have to have meaning, okay? Words have to have meaning. We need to assign a general, like, we don't have to be uber specific about it. We don't have to be so specific about it that it takes the fun out of words. But we can't do this nonsense, because then we've tottered and teetered all the way off to the cliff of nonsense. So, like, please don't use the word stan. Like, if you genuinely stan something, we're not going to be friends, because I don't want to end up in the trunk of a car.